Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by renowned public radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back State Representative Brian Newberry, a Republican from North Smithfield. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello has made clear that starting a phase out of the car tax is one of his top priorities for 2016. The car tax is very unpopular, but it also generates $215 million in revenue for the state each year. And the property tax is generally considered Rhode Island's most regressive tax. Representative Newberry, is this a good move by Speaker Mattiello to cut the car tax, or more of a way of pandering to voters?
Well, since it was one of our priorities in the Republican Party last session, I'm glad to see the Speaker moving in our direction. So I obviously think it's a good move. But in all seriousness, the arguments against doing it about the property taxes, there's some validity to it. But the car tax is one of those taxes that causes disrespect for the law. Okay, I paid a tax. I just got rid of one of my 17-year-old cars last year. I paid a tax on it. It wasn't the amount of money I paid as a principal of paying the tax. It's not a fair tax. It disproportionately hits the middle class and the poor. It also hurts car sales. There's a whole lot of reasons why it's a bad tax. And, you know, I didn't agree with Lincoln Chafee on many things, but his argument that property taxes were a serious problem around, be it car taxes or real estate taxes, is a very valid one. We need to start addressing the property tax issues, and that's the place to start.
Maureen, how about it? Is this a pander or a good way to cut the tax burden for Rhode Islanders?
Well, of course, from Mattiello's point of view, it's both. Obviously, he promised this, and he's got to deliver, and it was became a campaign issue. But I do agree with the representative that this is the place where we start. One of the things we have to remember is that this is a phase in, if you will. So it's not like we're going to get hit all at once. We have to wait and see. He can get started on it. The interesting thing is the progressives aren't going to perhaps go along with it, but they've got Republican support. So I think in terms of initially, we'll have some movement on that. And the big question will be how it's rolled out.
Scott, even though the economy has gotten better, the Speaker's plan is to cut out the car tax in $40 million bites by year. The state already has a $110 million deficit for the next fiscal year. How easy or difficult is it going to be to do this?
He may have to stretch this out over more years. And I can understand that. I think one of the things that Representative Newberry points out is really true. Every time in January, for instance, or February, when you see a brand new Mercedes with a Florida plate driving through Providence, it just frosts the average Rhode Islander who really sees that a lot of people cheat on this. And in fact, Providence, when Sam Zurier passed that ordinance and they cracked down on it in Providence, saying that you couldn't get your homestead exemption if you had your car registered out of state, they picked up $6 million. So there's a lot of cheaters out there.
Our guest, Representative Brian Newberry, decided earlier in 2016 not to seek re-election as the Republican leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives. He's been succeeded by the more outspoken rep from West Warwick, Patricia Morgan. Scott, how do you expect this to affect the House in the new session, also with a more robust progressive caucus on the other side?
I don't see really how that deals with the Republicans. I think they're going to be a thorn in the side of Speaker Mattiello.
You think the progressives are going to be a thorn?
That's correct. The progressive folks, I think, will be a thorn in the side of Speaker Mattiello more than they will really with the Republicans. And I think Patricia Morgan is a little bit more of a bomb thrower than our friend here, Representative Newberry. So particularly if she wants to promote herself as a candidate for governor, hopefully it will be a we caucus. It looks to me like it's going to be a me caucus with her in there.
How about that, Rep. Newberry? What difference will it make that Patricia Morgan is now the GOP leader in the House?
Well, you know, the real issue is what is the role of the minority party? What's the role of the minority leader? I never thought that our role as a minority party was to grandstand. Grandstanding has its place. I've done it myself. It happens. You do it to bring attention to issues, but you can't be all grandstanding all the time. I was thinking about this coming in here. The last 2 years, if you look at the priorities that we as a caucus put out, a lot of them have been adopted by the Speaker. I went back to 2015. We sought elimination of the tax on Social Security. We sought reduction in the corporate, the minimum corporate tax. We saw, as you saw, elimination of the car tax last year. The only real major priority that we put out there that there was not some movement on was we were against the tolls. That battle we just lost. But actually, I think behind the scenes and through public advocacy in an intelligent fashion, we actually moved the ball somewhat in our direction, not as far as we'd like to go if the people would actually elect Republicans in the majority. But we did move the ball in that direction. You know, Patricia and I have different personalities, and there's no secret about that. She's going to do what she's going to do. we'll see how it turns out.
Maureen, what difference do you expect from Patricia Morgan?
Well, I think there'll be a more vocal and stronger minority party, and I think that's a good thing. The question that I have and that we all seem to have is, what's the agenda going to be? If the agenda is one that looks at the kinds of issues that Republicans tend to care about and make a case for it, and can be a check on, for example, the rollout of the last health care providers thing. Well, they had hearings. That's a good thing. But if it's just about me and if it's just about grandstanding, I don't think they're going to get anywhere. And I think, you know, the progressives have a cohesive group of advocates, and it'll be interesting to see how these two groups interact.
Another one of the big issues facing the General Assembly in 2017 is whether to legalize marijuana. Representative Newberry, what do you expect to happen with this?
You know, I've had a lot of conversations over the past several years internally about that issue, and I know a lot of people in the House support. I think the majority probably support it. I know the Speaker has always been opposed to it. But if Massachusetts, they did pass the referendum, I think it's going to become legal in Massachusetts.
But there's some backtracking in Massachusetts also.
Right, and I suspect that people here, you're asking me to predict what will happen. I think here they're going to keep a wait-and-see approach on what happens in Massachusetts. I don't agree with that approach, but that's what I think is going to happen.
I think the governor will come around perhaps at the end of the session, but I think she's very wise in the sense that what Massachusetts has done is they've passed, a referendum that now becomes law, and they don't know how to implement it. And I think by virtue of what she's been talking about is looking at other states and having a plan is the better way to go.
Scott, Massachusetts has put off the opening of shops where marijuana can be sold. That would seem to give some people cold feet in Rhode Island, don't you think?
Actually, they moved it to 2018 is what they've done. So I think it gives Rhode Island a little bit more breathing room. Now, in the long run, Massachusetts legalizes marijuana, Rhode Island's going to have to go along because two-thirds of our population, as we've noted time and again, lives within a 20-minute drive or so from Massachusetts' border.
This is the last political roundtable of 2016. Scott, give us a story that you're happy to get rid of and one that you expect us to come back to bite Rhode Island in 2017.
Well, 38 Studios, I think that's finally winding down. We put that behind us. I think that's good for the state. The one that may bite us is the truck tolls if the truckers win the legal case. That would be one that would bite us.
How about you, Rep. Newberry?
I agree on the truck toll thing. I made the point when we passed it, I think there's a really strong legal challenge here. I don't know what's going to actually happen with it, but it's a huge risk to take, and it's going to be tied up in court for years regardless.
Maureen?
Actually, I disagree. I think that the truck tolls were overdone. I think the fact is that there's no way they're going to toll individual cars. I don't see the legal case as being as strong as you. You're a lawyer. You may know more about it than I do. But the fact is that if we need money for infrastructure after this, you raise the gas tax. They're already doing it in New Jersey. It's not about tolls. So I disagree about the effect of the truck toll legislation.
You can't raise the gas tax in Rhode Island too much because in Massachusetts, gas prices are already lower. I get my gas in Massachusetts as often as I can. As Scott just pointed out, most people in Rhode Island live within 20 minutes of Massachusetts. A lot of us work there. You raise the gas tax, you're going to end up hurting revenues.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Happy New Year to all our listeners, and thanks for joining us, Scott.
And Happy New Year to everyone.
State Rep. Brian Newberry.
Thank you.
And Maureen Moakley.
Happy New Year.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at RhodeIslandFoundation.org.